Welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, with the only man who knows everybody in Orange County, Mr. OC himself, John Gutierrez. Welcome, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back again to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President here. And with us today, we have another great group in the community, Mr. Hector Blanchett and Laura Blanchett, who are with Vision One Mortgage. Hector Blanchett is the president and Laura Blanchett is the principal slash owner. And with us, there are new members of our chamber, and they're going to be supporting a lot of stuff we're doing in the community. So let's welcome them to the show. Hola, Laura.
Saludos.
Saludos, saludos. ¿Cómo están? Thank you guys so much for being on the show, and we appreciate you guys, of course, coming on and supporting our chamber. We were just talking about how we go way back to Lathrop, yep. Junior High in Santana, right?
Grew up in Santa Ana, originally from Tijuana, Mexico. Came here when I was 13 years old, and I wasn't as fortunate to go to Tustin High, but went to Saddleback High School.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Tustin High, right?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong.
What was up with Tustin during those days?
I love Tustin. I grew up in Tustin. We live in Tustin. We have our business in Tustin. There's nothing wrong with Tustin.
Tustin's great. Tustin's great, right?
Always been a right boy, though.
Yes, I know there's a famous El Torito down there in Tustin, right, on 17th Street.
Yes.
And there's a Mimi's Cafe. We often have meetings out there, too, with some of our members of our chamber. And I know Cancun Juice has now moved into Tustin. So there's a lot of great small businesses in the city of Tustin. And that's really what our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is all about, is supporting our small businesses. And so I wanted to go into a little bit about that. Let's talk about your journey, how you guys got to this point. Of course, you started your own business, you're thriving, but let's go back a little bit and share with our listeners how you got to this point. How did you end up in this industry, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about that?
I was thinking about getting into criminal justice, so I did sign up at Santa Ana College. Obviously, I needed money to pay for that and everything else, so I was looking for a job. I got a job as a telemarketer back 18 years ago. And then I transitioned into being a transaction coordinator and then a loan processor. So that's how I got into this business.
She missed something. She worked for me.
I worked for him.
Santa Ana College is one of our partners of our chamber here. And a lot of our collaborations in the community are with Santa Ana College. A lot of our youth chamber comes out of Santa Ana College and other schools like Cal State Fullerton and UCI here, of course, and Chapman. But that's great to hear that you were there at Santa Ana College.
What I was there for a few weeks, because then I got very into the mortgage business that I just quit school.
It's okay. It's okay. You obviously found what you enjoyed or loved. And what was that? What brought you to it?
Number one, it has to be the truth. It was, the pay was great.
Really?
The pay was amazing. I was 18 years old making great money as a loan processor and transaction coordinator. So I guess it was mainly that, but then I started really getting into being a processor and fully transitioned into that, left the transaction coordinating, and then just escalated from there.
So at that point, you were working at the place you were at?
No. My brother and I had a business. We had the combo of real estate and loans back then, and Laura was hired to come as a telemarketer along with another 12 girls and guys that wanted, they were in the same situation, going to college, trying to help out the family. There was no other way to go around it. A lot of these people bust themselves in, just like we all did to high school or our first jobs. After we had Sarcos Metro, it was through the 08 era, where everybody lost their homes, lost their money, lost their economy, was down the ground.
What happened that time? Like, I know there's new people hearing a lot about that today, but why did it crash? What could you share with our listeners that, from an economic standpoint, what happened back then?
Back then, I think the economy was calling out for, very similar to what we're going through right now, to get more families into homes with the 80-20s. The loans were, 80% on one, 20% on the other one. High rates. Obviously, the appreciation back then was not what it is now, but market just took a dump. The big banks failed, just like the news call it, right? Mm-hmm. So we all literally lost everything.
Wow.
When Laura joined us, we were 12 people. We grew the company to 105.
Wow.
Then we had to scale it down, and from having 42 rentals at the time myself, and and going and having the 105 employees, to losing everything, including the car.
Yeah.
And Laura and I living at a motel.
Wow.
Back then.
It really humbles you, right? Like, it's one of those experiences I can share because, you know, before the pandemic, our business, we own a healthcare company, we had about 100 employees. And a lot of people, just like myself, in our business and a lot of other businesses that are part of our chamber, are actually going through that restructure, repivot, rebuild. And we're now down to 30 employees or so forth, and we're just trying to build it back up, right? Mm-hmm. The pandemic really hurt a lot of small businesses. So I can sympathize with what you're talking about of 08. And it really just takes you, I mean, I even tell people it's almost like you have PTSD from it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's now that you get anxiety, you get that fear of what if this happens, right? What if we have to close our doors? What if, like you said, end up at a hotel? That's tough. Was it yourselves and your children or just yourselves?
No. So we didn't have any kids back then.
Okay. So thank God you didn't have that, put them through that.
That was a thing that
I'm sure a lot of families did. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of families did.
So that was the thing that I didn't want to have any kids unless we were fully stable, because I did not want my kids to go through any of that. So that's, kids came later.
But that's interesting you make that point.
Yeah.
You're actually validating the point that I just made about the PTSD. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you said, I'm fearful of going through this again with children in our lives, right? Correct. Because it was tough, right? And so you're in this hotel. What happens after that, the rebuild or the comeback story? What happened, if you don't mind me sharing?
So we got introduced to Vision One Mortgage by a title rep. And we were pretty much, the company had been only open for a few months. And we joined with Vision One. We were pretty much the first people to join them. And I want to say, 18 years later today,
wow,
we own Vision One Mortgage. And that was
back then
it was a dream of saying, one day I wish I can own this. And pretty much now it's a reality.
So when you joined this business, you didn't have that vision or goal of, hey, maybe we're going to own. It was just, you were there working and coming back from obviously the 08 difficult times. What would you say to our listeners that are watching or listening that you learned during that whole process that you look back now and go, wow, this is something I learned during those tough times or the rebuild?
Blood is thicker. If it wasn't for family members, we wouldn't have survived.
Blood is thicker than water. That's interesting. I actually printed that on some dog tags for my nephews when they were young in college, and I gave it to them. And it's one of my most favorite sayings, right? Blood is thicker than water. What makes you say that?
Going back to the motel days, and for those that know Tustin, and she's a Tustin resident, we had to stay at the Tustin Motel.
Wow.
Going back then, my brother, or I got 6 brothers, 2 sisters, but one of my brothers, he really took care of us as far as bringing us groceries or helping out with the hotel due, or even I would take off twice a week and clean windows with them. They have a window cleaning business. And the other person that really stood us for us, mom.
Wow. Shout outs to your mom. Is she still around? Or?
No.
Bless her heart. Yeah. Bless her heart, because it's nice to know that, like you said, our family can be there during those difficult times. And trust me, I know a lot about it because we had family that went through the same situation during those days. And so now you're in this organization or this business, and it's hopefully little by little picking up and starting to thrive.
Correct. Obviously, last year wasn't great. Right now it's starting to pick up. And obviously we're putting in work to make it become a little bit more alive, transitioning to make it more, putting it out there a little bit more.
I love she just jumped to the front, right? She didn't want the journey, right? But you tell the story of, like, how did you end up owning it? How did that happen?
So obviously we worked there for so long that the old owner reached out to us about a year ago.
October last year.
And he said, pretty much, I'm done. I've been in this business for so long, I'm done. And he said, I'm closing the doors because I want to move on to something else. Closing the doors meant that there was going to be a lot of people without jobs, meaning processors, underwriters, funders, dog drawers.
Yeah.
Hector and I just said, what if we take over? And we talked about it with the old owner, and he said, if you guys are willing to do that, let's talk about it and put it in writing. So that's how it became now.
Let me ask you, this is important for our listeners and our viewers. Now you are business owners. Now you're entrepreneurs. No, you're no longer just employees. How different has it been for you all?
Through the 18 years, maybe 12 years back, we run the most profitable branch for the bank, along with Lupe Fonseca. And that taught us to be more, through the branch, be more of a business owner on the hire and fire. He let us be ourselves anyways. So going through what happened in 08 and then transitioning 18 years later and doing the branch, and she'll be running the P&L, the checks, the make sure we're profitable, we're not bleeding here, bleeding there. Now that we're on this side, it's not much different other than self-control and discipline. That's what really is what
you guys hear that? Self-control and discipline. From an entrepreneur.
That's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. And it's the discipline to get up in the morning, because you got your own wives. Our own wives are our kids and employees.
Of course.
And the discipline is to do it every day. It doesn't matter if you're checking account has $5 or $500,000, or if it has a $5 million, whatever. It really doesn't matter. What matters is that you're putting everything in your heart into it, and that's what really transitions into be who what a business owner could be.
Paul has a question. Go ahead, Paul.
I am just fascinated at this story here, and two questions I have for you. My late father was born in 1920. He grew up in the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. Before this, the real big one.
Yeah, the Great Depression was tough, man.
And it grew up, didn't have any food to eat, didn't have any, this is back in Michigan, didn't have any coal for the furnace. It was horrible. That scarred his whole generation. To the day he died, he would never carry a credit card balance. He paid off everything immediately because he was always afraid it's going to crash again. Something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Has that experience, I wonder, entrepreneurs who you had a business, you're working, and then crashed, and then built it back up again. Other than discipline, and you said self-restraint, maybe not going crazy, buying all the things we want to buy, how has it changed your outlook on being a business person? Has it scarred you in some way or changed you what you do?
So I go on. In order for us to start over, going back to the hotel, I had the IRS look for me. I had the car collector calling every hour.
Yeah.
I had child support calling me. Not giving up on yourself is really what has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And having a big, throw it out there, having a power woman right next to you.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't survive without Laura.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
That's awesome. That's great to hear.
Yeah, and not because she's here and she's my boss now.
You don't want to get fired, no.
La patrona.
La patrona. La patrona. No, but it goes back to that. It is
teamwork, right? It's teamwork.
It goes back from picking up the kids to dropping off the kids to changing diapers, you know, when the kids were at diaper season.
Yeah.
And for, you know, what we are now, we each have a role. Hey, I'm a spender, so let's throw it out there.
No.
She's not. So
it's so funny. We have so many similarities with me and my wife. My wife is our chief financial officer, runs our hospice company, our healthcare company. And I'm, like you said, the spender, right? So we're always like, it's the yin yang, right?
Yeah.
You got to have the balance, right?
So my other question is this. I don't know if I see that grit in today's young generation. Maybe I'm just being an old guy and saying, they don't have
what it takes. Well, it's different generations.
But they haven't gone through the tough times. Too much of what they say. Maybe they saw that Great Recession or something here. But by and large, it's been pretty successful. And too often they just want to throw in the towel. I'll change jobs. I'll change careers. Well, I'll change this. I don't know if they had that stick to it. My dad had it. It sounds like you had it.
I got to defend the new generation, Paul. I'm sorry about that. and why? Because I have four girls, one boy. Yeah. And we're teaching our kids to go out there and work for what they want.
Yeah.
Can we go out and buy a Nintendo Switch tomorrow or an Xbox? And no, you got to earn it. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that, especially in California, where everything's so mm-hmm. fast moving, sports, mm-hmm. you got school activities, you got weekend birthday party with a friend, you got more birthday parties.
They
now.
Got a social calendar at 7, yeah.
What that said is, I tell people, I didn't struggle, and we didn't struggle while we're struggling for our kids to struggle.
Yeah. Mm.
And if we're going to show them a way how to get there, not the fastest way, but the correct way, mm-hmm. And I let Laura speak on this one because she tells people this story about what she envisions her kids to do. And it has to do with her dropping out of college and not necessarily having a four-year degree.
Tell us, Laura.
Yeah, I tell my kids that you can go out there. My older daughter, Delia, she's a softball player. You can go out there and be a great softball player. You can become a coach later on or do whatever you want. My other one's a cheerleader. I said, you go on and do whatever you want to. Lucas, baseball player. I said, you can go to the MLB. I'll support you. But before you guys move on to that, I also want you guys to have something that's going to back you up in case you don't get to where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's, you're pretty much going to be working for mom and dad. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a real estate license, become an NMLS license, whatever you have. But that's just to back you up in case something happens if mm-hmm. along the lines and they don't achieve what they intend to do, which is become a
softball. In other words, our kids are not trust fund kids. No. Our kids are trust the process kids.
I like that.
Trust the process kids.
I like that. Trust the process.
You want to get ahead, trust the process. Patience and trust the process.
Wait, did Hector say patience? You have to admit, you learned that from her. Paciencia? Because I always tell people I learned that from my wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife has a lot of patience.
And I was backwards in here. I have more paciencia.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just trust the process. Everything has a process. Your time will come. Go get it when it's there.
That's awesome.
But the idea of making them work for it, I got to chime in one more second here. So my dad grew up very poor. Started off from working at the assembly line for Chrysler, worked his way up after World War II and became an executive. So we grew up in nice suburbia. And I remember came time to college and I got into a good college and my dad said, how are you going to pay for it? I said, how am I going to pay for it? Look around, Dad, we're doing good. he said, no, I never went to college and I'm not going to pay for it. I'll split it with you because I think that's only fair. But you got to get a job. And he got me a job working back down in the factory. My friends thought it was so horrible. Your dad's so mean. Oh, my God. Best lesson he ever taught me was we're going down to work for what you got here.
But I think everybody has a different way of raising their kids. And there is always different books to how to raise your kids. Like, I just had this talk with my son. And he's going to graduate this year from high school. He's a senior. And I said, look, I don't want you to get out of high school next year and go to college at IVC, which he's planning to, community college, because I had a lot of friends that went to community college. Mm-hmm. And I went to Chico State up north, and I said, look, community colleges, you're not engaged as much. You're really on your own. You're a loner. So you can fall off the wagon and suddenly just get a job and work more, start making money, start buying things, start getting credit cards. You start getting in debt, and now work becomes more important than school.
Correct.
I said, no, I don't want that. I want you to focus on school. And if I have to help you with mom to get through that, I want you to focus on school. Because we talked about this before the show started. Unfortunately, the new generations, a lot of them, they're not wanting to go to college. They're wanting to learn everything online, on YouTube. They want it easy, fast, right? Like, how can I cut in line and become a millionaire fast? Which is, there's nothing wrong. There's a lot of successful entrepreneurs that are YouTubers and things like that. But to your point, Laura, it's also good that they learn a skill. Like you said, right? Get your real estate license, right? Learn this industry. And I think a lot of it is just, like you said, Hector, empowering our kids. G- giving them that advice, that motivation, right? So that's great that you're doing that with your children, that you're preparing them.
And every other friend that wants to listen.
Not everybody wants to listen. And with that, I want to say thank you guys. Speaking of the youth in our community, I know you guys are new members and you're going to be supporting our golf tournament that's coming up next week. And also our Viva la Cultura event, which is coming up October 16th. And that's an event that we're going to be supporting some young kids in music, art, and fashion. So thank you guys so much for supporting these programs that we provide in the community, because that means a lot to us. Here at the Chamber, that's something that we're always trying to do, is empower the youth. I know I try to get you to golf, and you're like, John, that's not my thing.
No, I'm a baseball guy. So.
You're a baseball guy. Who did you grow up, like, what, the Dodgers? Okay. And so you guys often go to the Dodger games?
No, not often, really, twice a year.
Okay, who did you grow up watching? Fernando Valenzuela?
Fernando, okay. Sachs, okay. Guerrero.
All those guys. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes at our golf tournament, Cecilia Mora, who's part of our chamber, will come with her dad, Manny Mora, who's famous pinch hitter for the Dodgers. Uh-huh. We'll reach out to them and see if they can come by and you can meet them.
What's the other one you had on, Pujols? Or?
Oh, Albert Pujols. His wife, Deidre Pujols, was on our show. And, of course, she's retired now.
Right.
Yeah, we get a lot of different professional players that want to come out and support our golf tournament, which raises money for our scholarships for our youth chamber. And that's another thing. I know that we have a monthly real estate mixer that we do. And so we're going to be having you guys come out and speak there and obviously continue to educate on all this that you're doing. What is the next step for your business, would you say? What is the next goal? What do you envision as an entrepreneur with your business?
So when we took over the company, we're in 13 states. I was just talking to her yesterday, I want to be in 35 states.
How does that happen? Other licenses you have to get? Is that what it is?
Licenses and
certifications or something?
And the process. You got to trust the process.
Really?
Growth, slowly.
You recruit more people under you in those areas?
Just a little quick on this is to go back. When we took over the company, there was only, I want to say, 4 to 6 loan officers. Right now, we're up to 46.
46?
Wow,
we hit the floor really hard and the pavement and started just hard recruiting. And we went from Hector interviewing, Hector doing all that, to hire another person do the pre-hire, and then shifted over to Laura. Laura now is doing those. And, we got loan officers in Florida, Texas, Arizona, soon in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it hard running a business in multi-states? I would think it would be. Because how do you manage this? How do you
The hardest thing is unemployment or ADDs. And the tax IDs in different
all
states.
All the HR stuff, pretty much.
But we're fortunate that, the previous owner had a great team. They stayed behind, all of them. And I don't see them as they work for me or Laura. Mm. They're in
part
there,
of the team.
We're grinding together.
We're part of the team.
Yeah, a lot of them have been with Vision for many years. So we're pretty much more like a family rather than us being their boss.
Yeah.
We get along really good.
That is great. A good work environment is key today, right?
Correct.
And what's the target market? Are you going after all loans? Are you going after certain segments of loans?
So what we really excel at is your regular Fannie, Freddie, FHA. Non-QM and bank statement programs, DSCRs, all those programs are great.
Mm-hmm. You have to explain some of those. I have no idea what any of those letters mean. So I know you're talking English, but I don't know what it means here.
So a lot of the self-employed guys that are out there, that whether they write off a lot of debt on their taxes or they haven't filed their taxes but they still want to get into a property, we got those type of loans. And for them to get ahead into it, there's different investors that we carry on our books that have 2-3 programs on the bank statement program, for instance, is self-employed, or if you're W-2, or just different stuff.
I thought a lot of that went away after the Great Recession here. I thought that was one of the things that too many of those loans.
But it changes, right? It's always evolving.
No.
I thought the banks tighten up all this.
Well, so. It is tight up. So people have a misperception on it because it's like a very similar to a regular full dog loan. Mm. And so people think, oh, I'm going to just qualify bank statements. It doesn't work that way. Just because you make $100,000 a month doesn't mean you utilize $100,000 for that. There's a lot of guidelines that go into it, and it's harder than your regular loans.
And then I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, it changes state by state, right? Like
correct.
Requirements and loans and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing you're probably juggling as a business owner working in different states, right?
Yeah.
Because I know that we're part of the SBDC at the Chamber here, mm-hmm. the Small Business Development Center, and I hear from that, from the consultants as far as like different lending, right? Changes in different states as far as requirements. So you're also constantly having to keep an eye on all that, huh?
Yes. But like he said, we have a great group that's helping us out that they were dealing with those types of loans before in different states. So they're there, they're helping us, and we're getting...
That's awesome.
We're getting them done. Yeah.
That's awesome. And now sky's the limit because I hear interest rates went down, right? What is your thought behind that? Is that good? Is that...
I think it's just the election year type.
Okay.
I see, and since I read a lot and I belong to the Mortgage Association as well, I see a good trend of maybe 2 points within the next 24 months.
Oh, wow.
Coming down. It's great for repurchase or new families coming in and wanting to be homeowners.
So we're going to get back to 3% and 4% loans? It's the crazy days here.
I don't see it that way, but yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to think that's
a lot of refinance, back. Right? That's what I'm hearing from our real estate committee.
There's a jump in
down the pipeline right now, right?
Yeah.
A lot of refinance, especially when people are needing money right now, right? Mm-hmm. These tough times, and you got the holidays coming, or they want to do something for their home, right? Are you also seeing probably, I don't know, do you guys get involved in all that? I know that people are putting the solar on the homes and all that. That's like a big thing right now. We see or hear a lot. You guys aren't involved in stuff like that, huh?
No.
Okay.
Not that.
But hopefully it continues to thrive and you guys continue to grow. This is, what a great story to see that you guys obviously went through those tough times and now you're able to take over the business and continue to grow it state by state. Anything that you wish to give advice to out there to our listeners? I know we're wrapping up here. We got about a minute left. What would you advise somebody who's an entrepreneur or someone going into your industry?
I'll let my
don't give up.
I was going to open my mouth and say, don't give up, because it sounds, don't
Paul,
give up.
This is not interviewing Paul Roberts.
I know, but I was
them,
guessing
Paul.
What she was going to say. I was guessing she was going to say that.
I mean, sometimes you got to throw it all on the grill and hope for the best.
Yes.
But if you don't give up, the result's going to be great.
Yes. One of the things that I love, Hector, that you said yesterday when we were talking is it's very important for you, for others to know that you're female Hispanic owned. Why is that? Why is that important to you?
Being a father of four daughters and seeing what the industry is, our industry or any other industry, and not giving the chance to women to excel in different areas, I feel that if I could put a grind to it on my own and knowing that she's a strong woman and that she can sustain, if God given I'm not here tomorrow, she still has kids to support. And and why not push the limits on women? My mother was a woman. Your mom was a woman.
Exactly.
Nobody ever said we need to be these macho guys and put women down.
Exactly.
That makes sense. But to me, is mostly for my own kids to see that if their mother is there, just the power, you can go get it too.
Yeah. That's interesting. You and I think so much alike. Obviously, my wife runs our business with my sister. They're Hispanic women. And I've said that to my wife before. I've said, God forbid something happens to me. It can happen, right? Men die before the women. It's common, right? Heart attacks, whatever. I said, it's good to know that you're a strong woman and that you run our business and you can sustain the boys and the family, you know?
I'll give them little nuggets right now. You asked me as a business owner, how did you guys get here? How did you sustain? We had a farm of avocados in Temecula. So we were 20, 30 acres. We're selling avocados. So the woman in my house, she was like, let's sell it. We're going to need the money later. So it sat in the bank account. So when we're doing this transition, she was like, okay, so we borrow from that money that we had going there into this business. Then came out, okay, so we need extra cash here. Well, okay, I'll borrow from John.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I need to borrow from the house.
Mm-hmm.
So you're over here wondering, how did you become an owner? Because it was questioned last week. I got a call by a guy. He goes, hey, man, I don't know if you're managing Vision One or you're running Vision One or if you're the owner. Like, he was doubtful because he worked for us before.
Mm.
I laugh inside of me. I was like, if you only knew, buddy.
Yeah.
That, and how Laura said, if you put everything on the grill.
Yeah.
There's no other way. we don't have a plan B.
Yeah.
There ain't no plan B in here.
It's all so the chips are.
That's it. We're in it.
We're all in.
That's why I said it's all discipline.
Yes.
Yeah. And I got one more quick question. You don't have a Hispanic last name. You have a French last name. What the heck is going on there? We just let that slide here. Blanchette. We used to have a woman in
here. That's a great last name.
Elaine Blanchette, who is from French Canadian, from Montreal.
When I became a citizen, I switched it. No. JK.
Just pick one.
Hey, listen, when he calls in those five-star steakhouses, and he's, yes, this is Hector Blanchette.
Blanchette.
They're like, Monsieur right Blanchette. Away, valet parking, Blanchette.
Now, do we have time? I have a story.
Sure, sure.
Please. So my daughter's first travel season of softball, and I had to sign up for the snack bar. So I put my name in. I said, okay, Laura Blanchette. I was supposed to set up since 6 in the morning and then take like the 8 a.m. shift. And I was there since 6. And our team mom, she was there, so I was helping. When it hit 8 a.m., she's looking around for the parents that signed up for the 8 a.m. shift. And she's, I'm only missing Laura Blanchette. She's not here. She's supposed to take. And I said, I've been here since 6. She's, oh, you're Laura Blanchette? She's, I picture like a tall, blonde, blue
eyes. Brigitte Bardot.
And I said, no.
Laura Blanchette.
I said, it's me. Right? I said, I've been here since 6 in the morning. What are you talking about?
There you go, right? And you said it's French from your great-grandpa or something?
Yeah,
right?
Great-grandfather.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Guys, we wish you all success. What a great story. What a great comeback story. And obviously, as a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, we're here to support you in any way that we can. We'll invite you guys back in the next year and see where you guys are at.
When it gets to 50 states or 35
states. 50
states,
right? We'll have you guys back on the show. And, you know, again, thank you, Vision One Mortgage, Hector and Laura, for supporting what we're doing here at the Chamber. We look forward to having you guys at many of our events. And I hear you're excited about the runway show, right? Viva la Cultura?
I am.
So again, wish you guys all the best. And, you know, we'll continue this conversation down the way, guys. And if you have any comments or anything you wish to leave on our social media, we can always share it with Hector and Laura. And again, we're here to provide you guys resources in the community. Follow us on our social media, which is Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, or our Instagram, OCHCC. Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
We really appreciate it. Mr. Paul Roberts, again, another great show on our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, where our community is your community.
There you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County. Powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.